Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95, whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, 295, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm glad you explained
that
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens.
Hey everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and as usual, I'm joined by the thin, gorgeous, talented, lovely, and fair-skinned Ben Mandelker of BsideBlog.com. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
You can reach Ben on the internets at bsideblog.com, where he does Big Brother photo caps and lots of other fun stuff, food reviews and stuff. You can also find him on social media outlets at bsideblog. You can find me, Ronnie Karam. My website is trashtalktv.com. There's a bunch of really funny comedy writers doing recaps over there. I do Big Brother in 2 minutes every week, every Friday, and that comes out on my YouTube page, youtube.com/trashtalktv. And you can find me on the Twitter at Ronnie Karam and Vine at Ronnie Karam and Instagram at Ronnie Karam or at Trash Talk TV. I'm also on Tumblr at Trash Talk TV Recaps. So there's that. Come to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Listeners get there and talk crap all week about the shows, and it's really funny. We've got it pulled up right now to read your stuff as we record
really good
today.
Stuff.
And then on Twitter, we're at whatcrappens.
Yeah, and you know what? You should really – I'm going to give an extra plug for my Twitter, because if you were reading my Twitter, you would have heard the breaking news that I just tweeted about 3 minutes ago, that our special guest on tonight's episode is Ariana Grande. She's just looking for parking, and as soon as she gets here, we will let you know. But yes, Ariana Grande is coming on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
There's
as soon
so
as she parks
much
her car.
About her lately.
Yeah, but we, you know, the thing is, the podcast takes precedence over Ariana Grande. So even though we could have waited for her to park, we decided to record it anyway. So hopefully she will be joining us soon.
I love that in your world, Ariana Grande actually parks. Like, she's actually driving around the block looking for parking.
She's, you know, in a Mazda.
Yeah, while Frankie's in the Big Brother house, she has no chauffeur.
Yeah.
She's probably trying to clean her own toilets, too. Oh, poor Frankie.
By the way, speaking of toilets, I don't know, this is no segue. You had a birthday this week, and I said toilet because drunk, you were puking in the toilet.
I was not puking in the toilet, which was a really nice change. I think that means that I'm maturing.
Yeah, you were puking in the sink.
It meant that I had enough pizza in me to soak up the vodka and not have to throw it up. I mean, who cares? Do you still care about birthdays?
I love birthdays. I know, like, every now and then someone will get up on TV and say, well, you know, after you turn 30, who cares about birthdays? But I like birthdays.
Yeah, I don't care.
And to quote Janet on Real Housewives of Melbourne, she's like, birthday's a day when it's just about me. Just about me. Whatever I want to do is what I can do all day.
Oh, yeah, right. My friends are like, well, I'll be there after I have dinner with my friend. Oh, I have to leave early because I'm meeting my friend for dinner. I'm like, what the hell kind of friends are you? There's only like four of you here to start with. And they're like, oh, I got to get home. The game's on. I'm like, what?
Oh, right.
If there was a game. I'm just kidding. My friends are really nice. It was super fun. I mean, it was just like any other drunken night in a gay place. There were lots of hot gay people around. And I like got drunker and drunker and made more and more fun of them as the night went on.
Did you go to
like
Pump?
Any other day.
Did you get a Pump?
I'm not comfortable in Pump. Those are not my people in there. Those are like Euro trashy, nouveau riche, wannabe fucking. It's like hairdressers who want to like go gossip about like faux rich people. I have no. Yeah. I have and Armenians. Like
it's like a place where I imagine Ken Pave goes.
Yeah. Who's that?
He's like this fae hairdresser who was a judge on Sheer Genius.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone in there is like a Bravo gay. They're really like, and they're in like really shiny clothes and have a lot of hair gel and spray tans and like jangly fake gold stuff and like leased Ferraris and shit. And I'm just, that's not me. I'm like in jeans and a t-shirt with a McDonald's stain, you know, on my crotch. Like, that's not, those aren't my people.
I feel you, Ronnie. And by the way, I'm apologizing to the listeners. I'm finishing up a bowl of soup. I'm just starving. I basically haven't eaten all day and I need to eat something. So if you hear any noises like that, I apologize. It'll be done in about a minute.
All right. Well, let's get started with some discussions. I just finished watching Jurs.
Okay.
You want to talk about that one first?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I didn't really write any notes because I was watching it right before this. The only note I wrote was the stripper was pushing the kid on the swing. Because she was like, remember when your husband, when you got a divorce... And your husband was dating that stripper, and, you know, I kid, because one time I saw the stripper pushing the kid on a swing. Like, what? If anybody knows how to use a swing, it's a stripper. What were you so worried about? It's like actually the safest person you could date when you have a child.
I can't believe they refer to their mother as a stripper.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so let's just get to the meat then. So Victoria Gotti obviously hates these bitches. Like
Victoria Gotti emerges like the Crypt Keeper, you know, in a blonde wig.
She was like Gollum coming out of the fucking lake looking for that ring.
It's like when Victoria Gotti floats in, you know, all that was missing really was like the sickle, you know? When she floats in, you just know bad news is coming. You know, she's like, "Yeah, why don't you guys come over to my place? I live down the street from this like, it was some like awful liquor shop." She's like, "Come over for a bottle." It was like Steve Antonucci's liquor depot.
PBR, you come over for? You ring have?
Why don't you girls come over for some Boone's Farms?
Oh, my God, Boone's Farms.
So they go over to Victoria Gotti's place, and she starts telling the story about how she met Reno many years ago, and when Reno was divorced from, I think it was Teresa, right? And how he said that he told her that the reason why they got divorced is because he basically slept with
Nicole. That story is way more than that. Because that guy's just a fucking creep and a star fucker and a total, like, restaurant host who cares too much.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being in the hospital and your Applebee's host coming up to you. Being like, I heard you were sick in the hospital, so I brought you a Swatch watch. What? You're the host at the Applebee's. What are you doing in the hospital? Get out of here. Listen, I know my podcast is huge, but I have no more room in my life for friends.
That's how you make people feel good in the neighborhood. Bring them some onion peels and like some like Lucky Charms baked chicken.
Like, you ever seen some ratatouille?
Well,
and carrot butts.
Well, I love that when he first tells Victoria Gotti that he slept with Santa, which is hilarious to say that to begin with. When he tells her that, her first response, she thinks it's a joke, and she's like, Reno, don't say those things. That's how gossip gets started. Meanwhile, she's completely gossiping about this. She's acting like she was offended at the idea of creating gossip when she is actually, you know, perpetuating it.
Oh, my God. That was so cold of her. Because she not only dropped it and said, well, it could have been a joke. She dropped it and then said, I even asked, is it a joke? And he said, no, it's not a joke. Like, Jesus, Victoria Gotti. It's like, just bring everybody down. It's like, it's not worth living alone unless everybody else lives alone. How about Dina just becomes friends with her? Like, anybody who becomes single, or when Joe goes to jail, Teresa can be friends with her. And they can just all be alone together around a kitchen table.
Yeah, exactly. Spreading awful lies about each other. Or, not lies, rumors.
Well, the editors are really gross because... They show this was like, of course, the last minute of the show because that's how they roll on Jersey. The rest of it was watching Melissa fake giggle over a rental dog that they got. But earlier, they show a scene with the mom talking to the twins about love and relationships, and it just makes the whole thing so much grosser.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy to think that she slept with Reno. I mean, I can't believe that she's still with. Like, how is she not the pariah of the family?
Well, you know, if you ever watched Jerry Springer, when they would be like, oh, your brother slept with your husband, and then they would beat up the boyfriend, and he'd be like, why are you beating up the boyfriend and not the brother? And she'd be like, because he's my family. This guy's an asshole. He's not my family. It's like, oh, okay. So I guess you forgive your family for everything, but then you beat up the non-family members.
They probably had a really big hot-to-hot over some over a Dunkin' Donuts culotta, and everything's okay now.
Yeah.
So we're all family again.
God. Yeah, that's pretty disturbing. But I read in the gossip pages that there's going to be – that it breaks up their marriage or something, or like
– Really? Who would have thought?
With their marriage, so.
Who – that's shocking. How could that happen?
I just can't see that happening. They're just such a great entrepreneurial couple who – they only care about their business.
I only care about Reno's business, Ponte Vecchio.
Oh, the raviolis. Ooh.
Giovanni's going to lend the family business. There's nothing that any professor could teach him that his own father can't teach him better.
He's going to learn in a 20,000 square foot barn in Jersey with some books and some YouTube videos.
I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to take pictures next to this fireplace, and I'm going to send them to my son and say, someday you can sleep with me the way that your dad slept with my mom.
God.
It's the circle of lives.
And the difference is you can sleep with my sister, too, and you won't know the difference.
I know that this is going to shock you guys, but poor Teresa, I mean, the stuff, she's really going through a lot.
Oh, yeah. What did she have to do this week?
Joe used a big word. Like, if I wrote the TV Guide log line, I would say, Joe used a big word, husband fucks mom.
Yeah.
That would be the log line.
Joe did use a big word. It had, like, all of 5 letters in it and 1 syllable, and it still stumped Teresa.
Yeah. He's like, I got the brawn. And she's like, brown, what?
She's like, you see, I know got words. Color, brown.
I know words. Huh? Who cares? What? Who cares? Shut up.
As Melania, like, puts white out all over his fake mahogany desk.
Fauxhogany.
Fauxhogany. Let's see. Melissa's aunt died, and then she made us a book of sexy photos of herself and gave it to Joe Gorga.
Yeah, what better time?
Yeah. Had the waiter deliver it, by the way.
At the cancer dinner.
Yeah, exactly. It may have had a few meatball stains on it, but it still did the trick.
These women are forgiving each other way too easily. It's like first they're ripping each other's hair weaves out, and then they're like, okay, well, let's just be friends again. And then the next week, Amber's showing up. Of course, Amber can never just show up anywhere and just say, I'm here for you. She has to be like, I'm here for you for your cancer, because I had the cancer too, and I know what it's like because I had it. It's like, oh, jeez.
She's like, I want to put everything aside just as if we're treating it with chemo, okay? Because I went through chemo, and I know what that's like, all right?
I want to treat this like it's a cyst. We don't know if it's benign or not, but we're going to take it out either way and have it tested. All right?
All this drama is like a cancer, okay? And I know that because I had cancer.
She's pretty terrible. So overall, New Jersey's pretty gross still.
It is pretty gross. And I would have liked to seen footage of Amber getting car sickness as a passenger in Teresa's car, and yet still somehow managing to drive away.
Well, is that the new Housewives thing? Where, like, because Vicky said she can't be a passenger in the car, or she can't sit in the back because she gets sick and barfs.
I think car sickness is the new cancer. And, of course, as we know, cancer is the new faux cancer.
Yeah. The almost cancer.
Yeah. So we were starting to, like, we're circling back to the benign things. We're circling back to faux cancer with car sickness.
Oh, I can't wait till Ebola hits the Housewives.
I have car cancer. I'm sorry.
Car cancer.
I can't be a passenger. I get car cancer.
I might have Ebola's. I can't breathe. Like 5 weeks of that. I can't wait till almost Ebola hits.
Yeah. Reno, I have Ebola's.
I don't want to be racist, but this didn't come from a white person. It's like, shut up, New Jersey. All right, so where are we now?
I'll tell you where I am right now. I was in my head trying to form some sort of meatball Ebola pun, but I couldn't do it.
Oh, my God, she's suffering from meatballa.
Yeah. We at Ponte Vecchio, our new special is spaghettis and meatballas. Reno, pour some vodka on the meatballs on the grill. No, you can get me bolas. That's how Reno charmed my mom.
Oh my God! If you're not full of phlegm and sneezes, you didn't eat it right.
That stripper gave my son meatballas on the swing while I was out getting my culata.
Someone choked on some meatballas, but hey, that's what you're supposed to do.
Hey, we're family. I put my meatball in a little fireman's hat and put it next to the fireplace and took sexy photos of it. Sent it to my mom and said it was for my husband.
All right, so what do you want to do next?
Why don't we go to Game of Crowns?
Let's do it. Hold on, let me look through my pages of notes.
I wish I'd taken notes.
I take this so very seriously. Hold on. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. I'm here.
I have to say, you know, the episode was a little jazzier than normal because there's a lot of like getting ready for the big pageant stuff. But once it got to the pageant, it got so funny. I mean, when they did the montage of the interview segment and they're asking all these women these ridiculous questions, like there was this one. Okay, one of the judges had this pancake makeup on that was so bizarre, and she sort of looked like Beaker with like bad highlights. Okay, and she was like, "So, tell us, why do you want to go to Greenland?" I mean, I think she asked that to Lynn Diamante.
Oh my God!
I just cracked up. The fact that Lynn Diamante has a passion for Greenland is to me like one of the best things ever.
Also, because it's all ice. Like, she doesn't know that they're named opposite yet. She doesn't know that like Iceland is beautiful and Greenland is terrible.
She probably thinks Greenland is a supermarket. She's like, yeah, I really want to like try out their new produce at Greenland.
Green goes really good with my highlights, my blue highlights. So, Game of Crowns, Blood Pressure. I love that Lindy Amante's first scene is with her husband acting like she's in the emergency room getting her blood pressure taken. And she's like, what Leha has done to me is... She's trying to murder me. She's trying to kill me. I could die. With these stress levels, I could pass away, and I need to be here for my daughter, so I'm not going to rehearsal.
I was like, what?
Yeah. She's framing this in, like, as if she is some like brave hero. You know, she's competing in the face of evil against all the forces conspiring against her. You know, like at the risk of her own health, she's appearing in a marginal beauty pageant.
That's not even real.
Yeah,
at someone's husband's casino.
And I love, by the way, all the portraits of her that are around her house. Like when they did a wide shot of her getting the blood pressure, and you see this, like, it's an empty room and nothing on the walls except this one giant portrait of Lynn looking so ridiculous. I mean, it's like in between these two circular windows that are like straight from the 80s. I mean, I don't even know what sort of world this woman lives in.
Yeah, she's a fucking nutcase. But I just love that Lynn, like, she overcame all odds and flew in the face of a murderer to compete.
Yeah. She's basically a Lifetime movie, and bravo for that.
She's like, I don't understand how people could think I would spread rumors like that. She's trying to kill me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how could people say such mean things? By the way, Leah, the other girls called you a manvestite, tranny, and ugly and a 40-footer.
Okay, so she's awful. What's the next thing?
How about
House wore some color? Oh, Susanna.
Susanna.
I don't know how you're supposed to sit here and pay attention to all this when my best friend's dying.
Meanwhile, poor Susanna. You know, she got in trouble earlier this season for wearing the same jumpsuit as Vanessa, and she shows up to Foxwood wearing the same exact outfit as all the seats in the Foxwood.
Yeah, she really did. That's so funny. When I was watching it, I made that comment. I was like, oh my God, it's a floating head.
All the chairs were like, damn gay people giving us all the same dresses to wear.
I know. The seats are like, you're an opportunist and you're just trying to ride my coattails.
Yeah, so the Foxwoods Casino hates gay hairdressers now who own boutiques.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else was in here? What do you think about interior design? Oh, God. The questions were, you already brought up the interviews, but so one piece of the thing is they have to go speak to this panel, okay? And this is not on stage. This is off stage. And they've given them already questions. It's like when you go on a late night talk show and they're like, what do you want to talk about, Jim Carrey? And he's like, meatballs, whatever.
Yeah.
Meatballs. And they're like, oh, so I heard you had some meatballs. And then the checkout. So they were doing that with the ladies. And Vanessa's was so what do you think about interior design? And she's like, I love interior design.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just redid my bedroom into a closet. And so it's an extra place for me to put my shoes and my purses and my scarves and my shoes. And I love, and the judges are just trying to like keep a straight face. Like they're taking this all so seriously. They're like, oh, I liked it. She said shoes twice. Like, oh, what the hell? What am I watching?
Didn't they ask Susanna something like, what's something you do that annoys your family? She's like, well, I have my own pilot's license, so... This is a terrible impersonation of her. It got, like, all wrong. It, like, came out all wrong. But she's like, well, I have my own pilot's license, so, well, you know, that sort of speaks for itself. It's like, what? Like,
that makes no sense. None of that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I like that they called the ladies pageant patties, who are just, like, so pageant. Those are ladies who, like, are so into pageants that... they're just total fakes. Like they walk in, they're like, hello, it's lovely to be a part of this competition, which I think is how you're supposed to be, right?
Yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, like, I think if I were a judge, I might prefer a pageant patty versus
crazy
Lorianne.
Bitches.
Yeah, Lorianne getting up there scratching her crotch and spitting, you know, on the stage, being like, my name's Lorianne and I am Mrs. Connecticut.
I'm Mrs. Worldwide Fitness Web. I'm like, what? That is not a thing. She's like, I'm going to wear my fitness stash. No, you're not.
She's
you're
like,
not.
From like that, I'm a WBFF diva. It's like WB. I don't know. She's so stupid. This is who I am. This is where I made my name. This is what I do. I'm like, you're an idiot. Okay. You're not in that organization right now.
The WWBF. So then she wore two. Who was that? Her parents telling her it's important that she represent Connecticut? Who was that?
No. That woman was Elaine Paolo, who has been a recurring fixture of the season. She is like – she's like the old lady who runs all these pageants, and her daughter, Melissa Paolo, is like the MC busybody. But she's also – clearly Melissa wants to be a star because we saw her later singing in that opening number that they had danced to. And it was so funny to me that this woman, she was like this like homely – this just homely MC lady decides suddenly that she wants the spotlight and belt along to like a pre-recorded track. The whole thing cracks me up.
Yeah, that was so crazy. That looked like Rosie with a wig.
It did, right?
That lady, yeah. She's like, you're a star in the sky. Catch a star when it falls, but don't fall right here today, stars.
Like, I just love it when leave. Like, I love it just when tacky people are suddenly an authority on how to be presentable.
Yeah,
you know,
especially Susanna. Why can't I ever remember her name? Susanna is so stupid. She's like, I'm just gonna wing it. And they're like, so what do you think? She's like, pilot flying. Nothing that you said makes any sense. And then they cut to her like testimonial, and she goes,
I'm competing with Miss America. I must have done something right.
I'm like, you didn't. You paid a membership fee to enter this terrible competition that no one even bothered getting extras to show up at. There was like five people in the audience, and they were all the family members of the cast members.
I know. I'm like, you were not doing anything right. Mrs. America is doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Mrs. America. I do have to say, she's the only one who's like legitimate. Like, I buy it.
Yeah, she's pretty. She's poised. Like, she is definitely, like, in a league way above everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, she's just so beautiful, and she holds herself so well, and she's so confident. She doesn't, like, give a crap. Mm-hmm. She's not afraid. Like, that one, yes, for sure. But the rest of them, I was like, no. And I loved it that Vanessa was like, well, I wish I'd lost 10 pounds first. And I was like, yeah, especially when they're showing you a fucking close-up of you eating, like, steak or whatever. And weren't those lamb chops?
I don't know. Like, every episode she's stuffing her face with, like, parfait or something like that.
Yeah, and it seemed like they were eating lamb chops. And then Susanna's like, is that steak? And she's like, yes, I think so. Looks like it. Like, you guys don't know what a lamb chop is? I didn't rewind, though, so I could be wrong on that.
I just, I really do think my favorite part of the episode, though, was when Lorianne got up to introduce herself on stage and totally messed it up. First of all, she comes in with this, like, stance where it looks like she's about to go running away. And she's like, what a beautiful day for a pageant. I'm Lorianne, and I'm Mrs. Connecticut. But just the fact that she like started with this like canned phrase, like "What a beautiful day to compete," and she's like standing there like she wants to punch someone in the face. It was like everything I wanted in like 5 seconds.
And also that her husband was completely mortified. I love that too. He's like, "What? Oh, god damn it!"
Yeah, and the best part is he started to be like, "No, what? That was so awkward." Then he realized there was no one sitting around him. He just stopped and put his hand in his head.
I love when they were doing, I guess it was the swimsuit part. I think it was the swimsuit part. And they were like, "This lady, let's welcome this lady who enjoys tennis and video games. Let's say hello to Lynn, who enjoys blah, 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 and motivational speaking." I'm like, you are not a motivational speaker.
It was one of her hobbies. Like, she does. She's a motivational speaker.
Who are you speaking to motivationally, you dumb hoe? You are not a That's like me being like, "Ronnie, let's say hi to Ronnie. Ronnie enjoys being a size 2, and he enjoys doing surgery on the weekends." Like, you can't just make shit up.
Well, you know that Lynn is as crazy as Sonia Morgan. You know, Lynn is saying, "Well, you know, I take in all sorts of LGBT youth, and, you know, I have people who write me letters, and I'm very big in Saint-Tropez, which is a tanning salon in town.
Do you know how many maids I've motivated to clean toilets? So many. And if they don't, I chop their fingers off one by one." It's like, whoa, Lynn. It's not motivational, Lynn.
"Every time I go into the hair salon and I have the women there dye my hair blue at the tips, and they start crying and saying, 'How is this my life?' I tell them, 'No, this is a good thing that you're doing. You shouldn't feel sad about it. You were not a beauty school dropout.'
When I go to restaurants and they hand me a menu, I look it over to decide what I'm going to have. And when they come back to my table, I motivate them to bring me an iced tea, an entree, and occasionally a dessert.
When my husband, Julio, cries at night and says, 'Why does this have to be the arranged marriage? Why was she the one chosen for me?' I tell him, 'No, it's okay, because you can't do any better.' And that really motivates him to feel better."
Who would say this? Who would do this to me? Who would say this to me?
I have never even held an illegal drug in my hand. I don't even know what one looks like. I have a license from the Supreme Court, and I went to go there, and my colleagues, they said, are you trying someone? And I said, "No, I'm a defendant. Who does that?" Meanwhile, Leah, speaking of other people taking themselves seriously, she's like, "I decided that with everything going on, it would be too much. Security would be too much if I competed, so I decided not to compete." I'm like, "Lady, you know, you're the one who asked for the restraining order, so you can probably take it away if you want to compete. It's like don't blame the whole situation. Like, you can fix it."
Well, it's her husband.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously not her at all. It's totally her husband, 100%. And he sits there, like, he comes in like a total brute, sits there, eats all the food, and just eats with his mouth open and stares at everybody like he's going to fucking murder them.
And then what does he do in the pageant? He sits there and he laughs at everyone.
Yeah, exactly, which is what started this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's a pig. But I love that the producers obviously told her, you can't just not let her compete. Like, that's not fair. She's going to do it. And if you don't want to take away the restraining order, you don't have to, but... Because I don't think she would have done that on her own. I think she would have forced Lynn out if she could have.
Yeah, but I still like that she walked through Foxwoods Casino with her stupid, like, Mrs. Rhode Island, United States, like, Pawtucket County sash.
Yeah, sash and crown. Because you know what the crowd at Foxwoods is like, right? I mean...
Yeah, I've been there. Like, I've been there. It's the first casino I ever went to, and... Yeah. It's pretty intense.
It's like taking a walk through an unemployment line, but with chandeliers. Well, and a lot of dinging sounds.
Well, what's also funny is that the editors did include like a little moment where Nick patted, like, when he was laughing at the contestants, he patted Vanessa's husband on the shoulder, like, in this very like friendly way, which I feel like they kept that in there almost to it's almost like a wink at the fact that later when they had the premiere party for this show, that Nick bit that guy's ear. Like, bit it off, I think.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering about that, because one of the husbands was laughing with Nick. Is that the one?
Yeah, and then – but, I mean, Nick is an asshole. I mean, honestly, like, if you are a cop and you bite someone's ear off, do you still get to be a cop?
Yeah, of course. I mean, hello, look at the news. You can shoot people.
I know. I mean, seriously, I mean, Nick is
you
probably
can shoot
so...
people, and then fucking stupid people on Facebook start a fund for you so that you're okay. I'm like, oh, I'm glad that the cop has $250,000 now. When the kid's dead, like, what the fuck is wrong with everybody?
You know, so, you know
that, the cops get away. They don't. They can do whatever they want.
You know that Nick is like chomping at the bit to go down to Ferguson and like throw cement blocks at protesters.
Oh my god!
No,
don't
no,
even
that.
Start real life. Don't even start me on real life. You do not want to hear my take on real life.
Isn't this real life? Isn't what we're talking about?
Game of Crowns, Ferguson. No.
So the next this week coming up is the season finale. I don't think we're gonna get a reunion. I'd be shocked. Although if there's ever a show that like demands a reunion, it's this one. I mean, I hope they at least give like a janky reunion in the clubhouse, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
No. Well, he might do that. He might do like a Watch What Crappens or Watch What Happens thing and invite them on. But yeah, this show's pretty much dead. Bravo doesn't care because they had promised this show they were moving it to Mondays. Remember they did that move.
Well, they
showed
it.
Two in a week. Like, they showed one on Sunday and then one on Monday, but nobody knew. So nobody watched one of them.
Right.
And then they and moved it back to Sunday.
And now they're also, like, putting Don't Be Tardy. I think they're probably trying to help Don't Be Tardy for the party. So that's, like, after New Jersey now. So Game of Crowns is even later in the night.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't even air promos for it anymore.
Yeah, they don't bother with this show. This show's so dead.
It's a shame.
It's so
a shame.
Sad. It's so good.
Everyone,
and you know this one would blossom in season two because there would be new people to do it.
You know, like every time I invite people over to my place and I show them Game of Crowns, they are cracking up. I just showed it to two people this week and they were like dying with laughter. They couldn't believe it was a real show. And I'm saying we gotta save it. But I don't think if we couldn't save Gallery Girls, we're not gonna be able to save Game of Crowns.
I think Gallery Girls was almost worth it. I mean, I think that was more worth saving than this one. This one, only the reason I say it's not as worth saving is because there's already so many shows about these women at this age being so desperate and needy and sad and fucking each other over. And, you know, we talk about this often, but I had a busy week because it was like birthday and work and like a bunch of stuff going on. So I didn't watch all of these until last night at like 10 at night I started, and then I finished this morning. And when you watch them all in a row like that, all these women screaming at each other just
for
hours on end, it's like, oh yeah, we don't need any more of that.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it's a little actually off of Bravo's brand because these women are not as wealthy or as like chic as sort of Bravo likes their cast to be. I mean, I'm not saying that the people in Atlanta are wealthy because everyone's bankrupt, but they have like expensive things, whereas these women, they're more like,
well,
this is
this
definitely
whole show
like,
looks cheap.
Yeah, this like is definitely like a TLC. This should be on TLC.
Well, this is where it started. It was a pilot on TLC, I believe, last year. People were posting about it on our page last year. They showed like an hour of it, and it was about the Mrs. pageant, so it had to be Game of Crowns. And I guess TLC didn't pick it up, and Bravo bought it.
Yeah, it's a surprising move. I think to those of you who missed it, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, guys, you missed a part of American history that no one's going to remember in 5 seconds, but it was still amazing to us.
Yeah, I think also, by the way, it has a terrible title. I know they're doing a Game of Thrones parody, but it's like a terrible title. Game of Crowns, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it is, because it sounds like it's about dentists.
Right? And by the way,
we're obsessed with Game of Thrones.
I had a crown today, and I wanted to make a Game of Crowns pun, but I knew no one would get it because no one watched the show.
Oh, well.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I got a... Well, they watched Game of Thrones, though, so that would have made sense. Yeah. I actually am missing half a tooth in the back. Like, I'm really ghetto, and I don't have insurance yet, so I can't get it fixed. And it's so sharp. I can't even, like, make out with anybody because I'll cut themselves.
Oh, Ronnie.
I need a crown. Let's start a fund.
Oh, we should start a fund.
Let's start a Kickstarter for my crown. Okay, guys?
You should go to my dentist. I don't have insurance either. But they
have insurance?
No, because the thing is this: when you are not employed, if you get your own private dental insurance, it's like a racket. Because what happens is you wind up spending more on the premiums than for the coverage. So, for instance, if you get your cleaning and your cleaning costs like about $100, that's fine. But you're spending like how much a month? Like it'd be like $60 a month even. So you are putting more into these premiums, and you're only getting when you if you were to get that cleaning with the insurance, it might be like $75 instead of $100. Like, it's not that much of a savings. So my dental office was like, stop paying for dental insurance. So there, that's a little pro tip for everyone out there.
Oh, that is a good tip, because I was like, I need to get insurance, because I used to pay so much damn money for insurance, and then the Obamacare stuff came out, and I was signing up for that, and I was like, this is not cheaper than my other insurance, and yeah. It was all for, like, HMO, sorry for HMO doctors out there, no offense, but, like, the shittiest of the shitty doctors. Like, I would drive past the places, I was checking a couple of them out, and I'm like, I'm not going to a doctor in, like, a strip mall. It looks like a Planned Parenthood, and like, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll figure that out, guys. You see, real life is seeping into this podcast every which way, because the world is going to shit. But you know what, everybody? Let's just dump some ice water on our heads, okay? And just wait for the drought. Have we fixed AIDS? Have we fixed cancer? I mean, Lou Gehrig, do we need to rebrand that disease as something else? Was Lou Gehrig not popular enough anymore? Fuckers. Jesus, that's making me crazy. Okay, what else? Although there is a new Facebook video of a baby saying fucking bloody hell or something like that. That's amazing. Yeah, well, so I forgive Facebook.
I don't know if I would necessarily do the ice bucket challenge with a 2-year-old, but apparently some parents thought that was cool. So seems a little extreme to me.
That was amazing. She's like, I nominate Wabut. Splash. What the bloody fucking hell?
I was right there with that girl. I was like, yeah, I would curse. I did the ice bucket challenge last week, and I was like, ugh, I don't want to even do this.
That shit was so funny.
So do you want to do OC?
Let's do OC.
Yay.
Okay, Tamara. Oh, my goodness. Okay, poor Tamara. I know that her greatest fear in life is aging. Too late. Get over it. It happened. It's like me going bald. You can't stop baldness, okay? You can buy a wig, but everybody's going to know it's a wig, okay? There are some things about yourself you have to accept, Tamara. Get over it, because you've got so many injections, your nose is permanently scrunched up, and it looks like you're smelling your old loose-ass farts all night long. It's gross. Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, what can I say to that? It's all true.
Hey, I hit the desk so hard that it reloaded my page that I was on.
Wow. It's the ghost of Tamara Barney.
Yeah. Yeah, but seriously, that face. Oh, ouch. Tams. Listen,
she's just a hideous, hideous person. Wait, I have to stop for 1 second and just say I looked on Twitter just now, and I just got a follow from someone named Jocasta's Bowtie. That's a Big Brother reference. Anyway, you know, Tamara is...
Hello?
I mean, she's so...
Ring, hello. Hello, Jocasta, it's your Bowtie. I just got myself all tied up. Like, you funny, Bowtie. Click.
By the way, I just got a text. Ariana Grande is about 5 minutes away, so just everyone stay tuned.
Oh my god, I'm so excited, because I just read this article about how mean she is to her fans, and I was like, no way.
It's not the best.
So, I don't believe it.
Well, for those of us who saw her on American Idol this season, she made an appearance, and I was like, man, that girl is cold. She was real cold to everyone.
Oh, she was?
Oh, yeah. I just took it, initially I sort of thought, she's either really cold or she has no personality, but I'm starting to think it might be a little bit of both.
My friend worked on the Billboard Awards or whatever a few months ago, and they said that she and Iggy Azalea, because, you know, they do that song together, that they hate each other, and that Ariana just gave her dirty looks the whole time, and Iggy just looked at her like, fuck you, bitch. Like, they hated each other's guts, which I think is really funny.
Sounds like one more problem.
You know what? gossiping about 40-year-old ladies is sad enough without gossiping about 21-year-olds. Girls.
Okay, so let's get back to Tamara Barney. Talking about one more problem.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine that when you have sex with Tamara, it sort of sounds like that saxophone in the Problem song.
I think it's probably like when Boy Scouts are trying to make fire without flint, and they just keep rubbing sticks against rocks.
You know, I just started watching Breaking Bad finally last night, and I feel like having sex with Tamara is what the entire Foley department sounds like from Breaking Bad. A lot of clanking, glass shattering, and maybe a gunshot, some liquid, and some
old people
fumes.
Being melted.
Yeah, exactly. The sound of a bathtub. Sound of acid chewing its way through a bathtub. That's sort of what when you have sex with Tamara. Having sex with Tamara is like the pilot of Breaking Bad. Sandy, fumes, a little bit of lung cancer.
You spend an entire episode trying to find out where the fly is.
Sort of have like car wash smells.
Yeah, total, like a little pine cone thing. It's like, yeah. Pine cone from above, but like rank puss below.
Sort of, you hear the sound of a chair being moved on the class. That's her legs opening up.
I'm so jealous that you're just starting Breaking Bad. What a good show.
I'm so excited. No spoilers. No spoilers.
What a good show. They all die. Okay.
Sorry, that was not me laughing. That was also my impersonation of Tamara's legs opening up. Oh, we are so misogynists. I say we, and it's like clearly me. I'm like, I'm a drag.
We're just as mean to the men. There's just not as many of them on.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't hate you because you're a woman. I hate you because you're an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I'm so sick of everybody's fucking outrage all the time. Like, seriously. And I know I'm one to talk because I'm like outraged for an hour and a half every week when we do this.
I know.
So trust me, I see the irony. But I'm just like, every comment thread you read, they're like, why are you being mean to Tamara? Or like, everyone's just so outraged. Like, Tamara, I can't believe you would say that to so-and-so. You're a horrible mother. Outrage, internet outrage. Like, Jesus, calm down, people.
You should just be like, listen, I'm just trying to give a piece of advice. Just trying to give some advice.
I was just trying to help you grow. It was a party.
I'm all about personal growth, okay? And I'm just trying to give you some advice. Okay, I'm jumping ahead. Let's get back to OC. So I actually, for some reason, I can't remember anything that happened.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me remind you how these all start.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Andy Cohen. Welcome to my beach house. We're here with the cast of Real Housewives. Hi, Tamara. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Andy.
Heather, I love your bangs.
Thanks. I just cut them like 5 minutes ago.
That's so bold.
Thanks. I did not cut them two days ago. I cut them 5 minutes ago because that's just how I am. I'm very like of the people and do things spur of the moment. Did not absolutely cut these 5 days ago.
Hi, Kentucky Fried Titties.
Hi, Andy. And that was a very crass remark, but I'm going to attribute it to Tamara.
Hi, Shannon. Hope you're not crazy today. What did he say to Shannon? What was her thing?
What's the score?
Oh, yeah. What's the score, Bidor?
Well, David told me that we're winning, so we're winners. David, are we winning?
No matter what happens today, David's going to lose. That's the score. Yeah, so Andy still hasn't fixed that whole, like, how to say hello thing.
You didn't even say hi to Vicky.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Andy.
I don't know. I can't do any of these women.
Vicky, thank you for the double meatloaf covered in saran wrap on your chest. That's really appetizing for everyone at home, I'm sure. So thanks for that.
That's also the nickname for baby Troy. Double meatloaf.
You know, I feel like Vicky listens to all this and like reads the internet too much, and people kept making fun of her square tits, so she got like round ones, and they're almost worse than the square ones. You know what? Put them away. Just put them away. If your silver's rusty, leave it in the drawer, girl. Don't bring it out at the dinner party. No one can eat with rusty silverware, Vicky.
Yeah. Basketball should stay on the court, not on your chest.
Yes. It's disgusting. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Especially because it looks like one of those rubber things that drag queens wear so they can like wear low-cut things. They wear like rubber chest pieces. That's what it looks
really?
Like.
Oh, is that what they do?
Yeah. Have you not noticed that?
I didn't notice it. Although, you know, this weekend I was in Phoenix and I went to like their big gay club and there was a drag show going on. And let me tell you something. Those Phoenix drag queens are an eyeful. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on there.
You know, my friend J-Mo, he's a recapper at TV Gasm. He's a big guy. He's a bear. And he's a backup dancer for a drag queen. Like, he's done it for 10 years. And it's the best fucking thing I've ever seen. Yeah, he's in Phoenix. He's a Phoenix drag queen backup dancer.
Didn't I meet him? Did I meet him once?
Yeah, you've met him a couple. I think we've gone out a couple times.
He probably was at that club. I probably missed him.
Probably. If there were some good old bear backup dancers, like, shaking their shit, it was probably him.
I don't know.
The best. And he'll post like drag things on his recap all the time. And yeah, they're a different brood out there, and they're awesome.
It was definitely crazy. Like, you know what? A lot of the gay guys there were actually very prissy, shockingly prissy. They were like turning their nose up at everything. And like, I mean, to be fair, I was with a group of people and that were like twerking like crazy. I'm not a very good twerker, but my friends were like kind of undulating like crazy. And I'm not sure if Phoenix had seen that before, but there was like a lot of priss going on in that club. It was called Charlie's, if anyone's ever been there before.
Well, I'm glad that there's a lot of prissy gays in Phoenix, because they need to turn the tide in Phoenix.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, Arizona has really gone fucking crazy with gay people. Someone needs to turn that shit up.
Yeah, yeah. And all the bartenders were very bro. Like when I signed up my tab, the bartender like gave me like a handshake and pulled me in for a hug, but not like, it wasn't like a flirty thing. You're just like, thanks, bro. Thanks for coming in, bro. I'm like, what?
Well, yeah, welcome to everywhere else in the world. Well, you're from the East Coast, which, no offense, is kind of cold. Like, I'm not you, because I remember when I moved to the East Coast, I was like, you guys are fucking cold out here. Where I'm from, everybody's like, hi. Like, you walk up the street and they're like, hi, how you doing? Well, good evening, ma'am. Hello. You go into a store and they're like, love your car. Oh, I love your shirt. Where'd you get that? And they'll sit there and talk to you. And in the East, they don't do that. But yeah, most like normal places, people are nice. It's only here you can't be nice to people, because the minute you smile at someone, they're trying to get money from you or fucking telling you some sob story about how their kid's locked in the car down the street and they just need $100 from your PayPal. Whatever. They're all trying to scam you.
Anywho.
What happened in Phoenix? Why are we talking about Phoenix?
Oh, because I don't know. Why did I mention that? Oh, we're talking about drag queens.
I
saw drag queens in Phoenix.
Sorry, Phoenix. I'm sorry that bad plastic drag queen boobs brought up Phoenix. I'm sorry. I owe you all an apology.
I know. I've already spent too much time in Phoenix this weekend. I don't need to go revisit it in my brain. Although it was actually the most fun. It was the best weekend. Sorry.
Yeah, Phoenix is a great place. There's Scottsdale's a really fun place, too. Phoenix is a great town. It's just Arizona needs to kick out their homophobic, racist fucking government.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, even though I just said that, I kind of love Sheriff Joe. I like that he's like, all right, illegals, here's a camp and here's some tents. You guys have fun now, or get your driver's license. All right, when you can learn to read a book to me, I'll let you go. It's like, whoa, that's creepy and horrible, and I kind of love him. He needs a show. Okay.
You will get one.
Yeah, he will one day. Real House, I'm turning my pages like I wrote something, and I didn't. I didn't write anything. Tamara just yelled a lot. Okay, so Heather got bangs. She still looks fucking awful.
Someone
posted on our Facebook page something really cool that... I'm sorry, I can't remember, and it'll take me too long of silence to look for it, but it was a picture that Heather posted of herself on, like, lookalike.com, and it's her next to the evil mother from Coraline. So I don't know if that's a sign that she listens to this show, but God, I hope not. And if so, Heather, stop being awful. Get that stick out of your ass, girl. Jeez.
Yeah, I think it's a sign that she has eyes, you know? She just looks herself in the mirror. Although I personally think she's more Maleficent-y than anything else.
She wishes.
She wishes.
Bitch wishes. She is Angelina.
Actually, you know who looked like Maleficent? Shelley from Game of Thrones, when she put that wrap up in her hair and went off to the pageant. She looked just like Maleficent.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's beautiful. You can call
her.
She
is. It was like a
more
beautiful
like the
Maleficent.
Gerbil that Richard Gere shoved up his butt in the 80s.
With like a Cheshire cat grin. Anyway.
Cheshire Shat.
She is the Cheshire Shat.
She's the Cheshire Shat grin. It's like the grin the Cheshire cat makes while he's sharting. Thanks for having me, Andy. I sharted on your couch.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. Oh. So wait. So what happened? What did these women argue about?
Heather got bangs. That was the whole episode. I was like,
Heather
wow.
Well, no. Let's see. Pretty much. Let's see. Lizzie took a bunch of shots at Tamara, which I enjoyed personally because Tamara's so awful. And even though Lizzie has become kind of like a whiny sad sack, I still like when anyone piles on to Tamara.
I do, too, and Tamara's ready for it. I mean, Tamara knew coming into this. Like, this is the woman who's deleted her Facebook page a few times because people are so awful on it. She had this thing for, God, I just read on stupidhousewives.com, which is where I go for most of my housewives gossip, y'all. Let me see if it's still on there. I read that she just took it down again today because people were so mean to her after watching the reunion that she was like, oh, yeah, Tamballs deletes Facebook page again, LOL. She says that Eddie calls Real Housewives of Orange County viewers ignorant. Oh, please. Girl, please.
Please.
But when she did have her Facebook up, she had something like, coming to Cut Fitness for like a half a, you know, 50% off a class or something. And then the comments under it were like, you're a cunt, Tamara. It was kind of amazing. But yeah, Tamara's awful, and she came in ready to go. Her face doesn't move, but her eyes still squint, and that nose still scrunches up, and she looks more and more like a possum every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or an opossum, if you're from the East.
Or one of those beavers in the gutter that you see in your street. One of those gutter beavers.
I'm not a nature person, okay, guys?
It's okay. It's okay.
So, yeah, everybody was ready to go at her. Lizzie, I still can barely remember anything she said. Like, I don't know why she's here. She needs to go. Heather was totally showing up. Like, our Facebook page, basically the word backpedaling is used a lot, which is a perfect way to put it. She just basically showed up ready to apologize and try and get out of it. But the way Heather apologizes is so rude and non-apologetic that it doesn't work, because she's like, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, it was bigger in my head, I guess, than it really was. So I'm sorry, but you were crazy and you were acting like this and you were giving me that look. I'm like, you just said you apologize and you're still accusing her of the same shit, Heather.
I know. I mean, talking about Heather makes my blood boil, because she doesn't even see the other side. Like, she doesn't she like you said, she has like these rehearsed apologies. But I like what Shannon was sort of like, well, now notice that I accept your apology and that you only had to apologize once, whereas I have to apologize over and over and over to Heather DeBrow.
Yes.
And by the way, I love the montage of Shannon calling Heather DeBrow. She's like, well, I don't understand why I always have to do these things for Heather DeBrow.
Not a fan of Heather DeBrow.
How many times must I apologize to Heather DeBrow?
Shannon, I think, handled herself pretty well. The best part for me was when they brought the husbands out. They brought David and Terry out. And Terry is wearing, like, Frankenstein shoes. I don't know what he's doing. And he's obviously in the wrong with his Ruth Buzzy face. And he's sitting there, obviously wrong. Everybody knows he's wrong. And Terry's not an idiot. He's a smart person, so he knows he's wrong, too. But he's married to this awful, frozen-crotched ice queen. And it's easier to be wrong on TV than right at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. And so he's doing whatever he can to stay on her side, and that was pathetic. And then David was nice. He's like, I apologized. I meant it. I mean, what's the big deal? David, everyone talked about how hot David is.
he did look great.
Everyone's like, of course everyone flirts with him. He's hot. And then Shanna's just sitting there getting more and more pissed that everyone's calling her husband hot. And I'm like, you know, Terry's mad at David saying spread your legs to Heather, but no one's getting mad for poor Shannon that all these women are like calling her husband fuckable and saying they do him. Like, it's a double standard, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then Andy's like, well, what about Eddie? And then they show a clip of Eddie being like, yeah, ride him like you ride that toothpick at home, dude. Yeah. Poke it like you poke a fucking stone with a stick or whatever.
And he's like, well, Eddie's a friend.
Yeah. But not only that, he's like, Eddie's a friend. And when he says it, he was talking about Heather and I doing it together. When David did it, David was like, you're so wrong on this. Can you just say sorry? And he's like, you were making sexually provocative comments at my wife. I'm not saying sorry.
Great. It was truly frustrating TV to watch.
Great point, Terry. And then Andy, it's like, he just has no way of telling the temperature of the season.
Yeah.
The best parts of the season weren't even shown. It was all like, everyone's kid is leaving the house. No one cares. Stop with these same fucking storylines. You know what? We just saw this on the past 5 housewives you've had on the air, you fucking twat. Change the story. Let's stop talking about it. I don't want to watch Tamara fake cry again.
Yeah. Or watch Brianna on like a grainy Skype cam with baby Troy and baby Ethan or whatever his name is.
God, Owen. Dropping Owen. More homely Owen. Children into the world. That's what we need.
I know. Oklahoma should kick them out.
They probably will at this rate if Vicky keeps her fucking mouth yapping.
Well, I just would be very scared for when they go couch shopping.
God. Couch shop. Oh.
Still a reference to last season.
Sorry. You're too smart for these shows.
No, I'm definitely
dumb it down, Ben. Dumb it down.
I'm trying my best. Trying my best.
Heather looks like a puppet. The DeBros tripped over each other trying to backpedal. I second the backpedaling.
Oh, and then there's also more Brooks stuff. I mean, like, I'm a little over Tamara doesn't like Brooks or whatever. Like, I mean, the only thing that was good about that was that Vicky started to yell. And, you know, when she yells, she gets that crazy voice. But, like, I'm really sick of the reunions being the time when we hash out, like, Tamara saying, I like Brooks for you. I don't like him that much as a person. And Vicky's saying, why does it matter who, like, I didn't ask you what you like him at all. And it's, like, over and over and over again every single year.
Yeah, it's the same thing over and over. Brooks is so gross. Look, here's why Vicky stays with Brooks, okay? Because Vicky has square boobs. She has a terrible controlling personality. She found someone who tells her what she wants to hear and does her enough and lets her do her thing. And that's it. He'll sign a prenup. Like, the end. Like, you really don't need all that much in a relationship, you know? People make all these big checklists of what they need. You need someone to fuck you and someone to be nice to you. That's it.
I mean,
unless you're poor, then you need someone rich. But Vicky's not poor, so she just needs someone to fuck her and be nice to her, and she's got him. I mean, the guy speaks in greeting cards.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I actually trust that Vicky is pretty smart about her money, and she doesn't like to, like, part with it. And so I don't think that Brooks is going to get his hands on her money.
Oh, no. You know, well, she talked about having to give Don half of her business.
Oh, yeah. She did not like really doing that. Hurt.
Yeah. And so you know that her ass is not doing anything without a prenup, especially to someone who doesn't even pay his child support. Like, she's not that stupid.
Yeah. No, she
knows what she's got. She just doesn't care. Like, if you're a controlling person and you've got a toothless hick who can't even pay his child support, you know he's not going anywhere. That guy will be nice to you just because he knows he can go eat at the Claim Jumper later. Sometimes that's better than having, like, a real confident man with a career. They're off fucking everybody else.
Yeah.
Losers, guys. Date them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it worked out for Gretchen. She's never been happier.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
What else happened on this stupid fucking reunion? Tamara screaming at everything. God, Tamara.
That's my opinion! You're disgusting!
Okay, Tamara, yelling it and, like, spewing venom doesn't help your case. It just makes you look crazier, and especially because you're wearing earrings from Claire's.
She's Medusa. Medusa face.
Yeah, she's pretty awful. But we did not see the extent of it, because she is really going to get it in this reunion. You know she
is. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she's going to... You know, it's not going to get her down. She'll be back, and she's going to turn on... I mean, she's going to... Next year, it's Heather. Heather's going to be in Tamara's crosshairs. Just you wait. Tamara knows. Tamara knows who to go against.
Heather? Oh, yeah, because Heather's the hated one this year?
Yeah, Tamara will take Heather down. Well, not take her down. She'll just be awful to her.
I think so, but she tried that this year, and it really didn't work out for her.
Yeah, but it's only for a little bit, and then they wound up being allies against Shannon. So,
but Heather is one of those rare cast members of a Housewives show that actually believes she's real friends with them.
Yeah.
And I think that she, like, calls Tamara to go to dinner and stuff during the year. I think it's like she actually hangs out with, or tries to hang out with Tamara.
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, to Tamara, yeah, that's true. We're talking about Tamara.
Yeah, Tamara will go after anything.
Yep. So are we done with that? Is there more? I don't remember what more.
There's nothing more than
that. I feel like there was more, but.
Yeah, let's move on to Melbourne.
Melbourne, Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Yeah,
this show is so stupid. Okay, one of my best friends, Aileen, I was like, you have to watch this show. It's so good, and she of course watched it in a day because she's unemployed right now too. And she was like, "That was the tackiest shit I've ever seen in my life." And I was like, "But you watched them all in a row." And she's like, "I have nothing to do. I didn't want to get off the couch to, like, turn it off." But it is the dumbest show, and I still love it.
It is. I feel like this latest episode was nothing but Andrea being like, "I'm just trying to give some advice. I just like I'm about personal growth." and I just want to give some advice. And that's
Andrea
all I want to do.
Is the worst human being ever. Okay, this she fight was already solved, and now they're at another person's birthday party, and she brings up the fight again that she's not even in. She's like, well, you know, she brought it up at that girl's party, and I didn't really like it, and I think we need to talk about how she needs to stop trying to be a barrister in real life. You know, you're a barrister when you're in the courtroom, but now you're in real life.
All I'm trying to do is give you some friendly advice and let you know that you're just coming out a little too hard. You know, you're a barrister, and I know you deal with facts, but you know what? These are your friends. This isn't the courtroom. And you have to be a little softer. That's all. Just some friendly advice.
But she starts it out by going, all right, girls, to the whole group gathered at the birthday party. She's like, all right, girls, so if your friend had some advice for you, would you want her to tell you, or would you want her to keep it a secret? And they're like, oh, no, you should tell her, but, you know, in private, you know, pull her aside.
In private, and as gently as possible.
Yeah, like, and she's like, all right, well, Gina, it's you I'm talking about.
And Gina's like, what? I don't feel like talking about this right now.
Gina's like, of course it is. Easy target.
Easy target. I'm gonna go to the bathroom and talk about Lydia's book.
Oh, that shit was hilarious. She's like, I'm not talking about this. I'm going to the toilets. So she goes with the other chick to the bathroom, and I guess thinks her microphone is turned off because she's pooping, but it's not. And so you hear her going to the bathroom, and she's like, and you know what? What about Lydia? What a cunt. I'm gonna.
Yeah. She's like, and that's a fact because I'm a barrister and I deal with facts. So it's a fact that she's a cunt.
She's my favorite one. She is so funny. She's like, I know. I'm gonna tell her, you stupid cunt. What are you going on about?
And then she goes back, and Andrea's still going on about like the advice, and she's like, well, I don't. Junior's like, well, I don't see why I have to change who I am and what my feelings are, what my brain is.
Yeah, she's like, you can't change someone's brain at a party.
Can't change someone's brain. And Janet's like, well, there goes my birthday. Let's go to the love machine. She's like, I love going to the love machine because my ex-husband used to run it, my son runs it, and it's just sort of like, the love machine is like a home away from home. I don't think any of the other girls have been there. So I'm excited to show them the love machine. And again, again, my point from last week stands up that even the most mundane things that they say, they announce them as they say them in ways as if they're telling like a cheeky joke. Like, and then we got onto the limousine, and that's just sort of it. She's like, I'm really excited because now we're going to go to the love machine. I'm excited because tomorrow I'm going to buy a lamp. I can't wait. Tomorrow it's going to be rainy. I just got back from the snow, and I just learned that the mail has arrived. Can't wait to
love it. We're gonna go to the love machine.
I don't think some of these girls knew what to do in the love machine.
Oh my god. So the love machine is this big club, and it's gay night, and it's all the drag queens. Which she did that on purpose, you know.
Where was Chica's husband?
Oh my god. Yeah, probably in the bathroom servicing. So everyone is, of course, think they're being mean. Like Andrea thinks she's being mean. She's like, the difference between Gina and the drag queen is that the drag queen was taller.
Well, the thing is, Andrea's like the worst joke teller. She's the one last week who was making the Priscilla Queen of the Desert jokes. She's like, the difference between Gina and a drag queen is that the drag queen's a little taller. I say that because Gina wears a lot of makeup.
Oh my God.
A little advice for you if you need to make a joke, make sure you explain it afterwards. Just a little friendly advice about personal growth.
That shit was so funny. But it was funny because she thinks she's being so mean, but then it cuts to Gina, and Gina's like, oh, I love the drag queens, you know, the hair, the makeup. They're like my sisters.
I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah, I'm at home.
And just like, the only difference between Gina and the drag queen is the spelling of their name. Gina spelled G-I-N-A, and the drag queen, well, I don't know their name, but whatever it is, I'll learn it, and then you'll know that's the difference between two of them, right?
Oh, my God. So the other big thing was that stupid Andrea had a focus group, because she's writing a book about how you can have it all. Yeah, how you marry a rich fucking ugly dude. That's how you can have it all. Fucking hire you nannies and shit. Like, you ever did anything. So she's got these lists that she makes for her multiple nannies. And they're like checklists of shit that they have to do. Like, put the kids to bed, feed the kids, water the plants. And she's going to make a book out of them. Yeah. And the focus group is like, this is just a list. And frankly, nanny shouldn't be doing all of this stuff. These aren't nanny duties. And she's like, oh, I keep the nannies after, and I make them clean the kitchen for an hour later than the shift.
This is just some friendly advice for you, that you should have your nannies do a lot of work. And if you're not doing that, you get the wrong idea on what a nanny is supposed to do. Just a little friendly advice. That's all.
What the hell kind of advice book is that? Not only, like, get a nanny, because that is not a woman having it all, okay? That's a woman hiring out, okay? That's outsourcing, bitch.
It's a woman having all the nannies because she has to go through them all because they probably are quitting after a day.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's like, if they don't stay an hour later than the shift and clean the kitchen, they're in trouble.
Here's my tip. I hire a koala bear to be my nanny, and it never talks back to me because it can't even speak. It's a koala bear.
I ate one of the baby's heads off, but frankly, it was a loud baby, so I didn't care. I just had another nanny come in and clean it up.
The only time I had to fire my koala bear nanny was when it was eating its own shit, which is something that koala bears do. So I said, I don't like that around here. Stop kissing my children on my mouth, koala bear.
I don't let my nannies kiss my babies on the lips because I don't want them getting cold souls. there's a book.
But here's a tip. Always hire nannies that have herpes. They have nothing to live for. They know they'll never have sex with someone else. So then they'll take care of your kids. Just don't have them kiss them.
Sometimes you can't control your kid giving kisses on the lips to the nanny. So the best thing to do is just get your nannies all sexually tested before they come into your home. And then you don't have to worry if anything happens with your children. That's in my book.
If you ever see a rash on your nanny, send them to the snow. Send them back to the snow.
Which came first, the HPV or the baby? Oh,
I don't know. That's a question for the nanny to answer. It's on the list. It's all from the advice. You know what the only difference between a nanny and Gino is? It's that Gino's a barrister and a nanny's a nanny.
Well, my favorite one is Janet. A, because she's like 80, yeah. And I think it's amazing that she's like, I'm going to fuck half the world. Like, I love this. Like, her whole storyline is fucking. I love it. Yeah. And she's like the nice one. He's like, why are these women being catty to each other? It's ridiculous, isn't it? And then she goes straight, like, after the party, she goes to someone else and she's like, oh, yeah, well, in the bathroom, Gina told me that you were writing a book about vaginas. I'm like, what?
I just like that Janet's excited about everything. She's like, today it's my birthday, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have some yogurt. She's like, I'm really excited to have some yogurt. Tomorrow I'm going to take the elevator instead of the staircase. I'm really excited. It's my birthday. It's my special day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wear some sneakers. I'm going to wear some sneakers.
Whenever people show up, she's like, hi, girls.
I like when she got her rings melted down. She was like, well, whatever. What's the psychic's name again?
Liddy? No, not Lydia.
Whatever her name Nicole? Is. She's like, Nicole. I don't think it's, but I'm going to say it. It's like, Nicole told me I'm gonna be getting rid of 3 pieces of jewelry. And it's so amazing because then I decide after that I'm going to go to the jeweler and give rid of 3 pieces of jewelry. I'm like, lady, you're doing it because she told you to. It doesn't mean it's like.
Yeah, she's not psychic.
But whatever, I'm so happy for her. I'm happy she got her nice ring, and she's great. I love Janet.
Yeah, I love Janet too. But she went and started shit right after. But I love. Oh, and then they showed Lydia. Oh, Lydia's the rich
she's
idiot.
An idiot. She's like, this piece is named after the Mona Lisa, which is of course in London's Louvre. The Louvre of London.
And she's like, looks to the side. Like, that's right, right? No.
She's like, that's right. You know, as we all know, the Louvre, which is in London, and. You know, I remember the first time I went to the Eiffel Tower, which, as we all know, is in Finland.
She's ridiculous. So she's going to get art. She's like, well, you know, going to the snow house in Turek, just all it did was inspire me to buy some more art for the snow house. And so she's like going, and it's these animals that are like plaster and covered in glitter. And she's like, oh, that's gorgeous. I want them both.
How much for the styrofoam snake? $50,000? Oh, that's pretty reasonable, actually.
Oh, God. She's like, what does it represent? She's like, well, you know, the moon and the black cat, because the cat comes out at night. I'm like, you don't fucking know what you're talking about, lady. Like, just be quiet.
I love how tranquil the puma is. It's very relaxed. It's just like lying there. It's very sublime.
And I love that she made another reference to the men in her house. She's like, oh, yeah, in my home with all those gorgeous men. I was like, ew, stop fucking your son. Stop it.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And I think that was it for that one, right?
Yeah, I think that's – oh, no. And then actually there was also this hilariously ridiculous scene where the psychic and her silver chair husband, they went and like – I think they were painting the artwork that's going to go on the bottle of their – whatever wine it is, I think they might be making Moscato, or they're calling it like La Moscata or something like that. So they went and there was some artist who had drawn something on a canvas, and then they were like dipping these flowers and paint and were like spraying it on there. And like they were totally like having this moment, like, oh, it's like, you know, I feel like I'm really releasing a lot of energy. I feel like all the things in my life are coming out right now, and they're all coming out on this canvas. I feel like this is gonna be a beautiful piece of art. I'm like, Pollock is like rolling over in his grave. He's like, I wish I could take back all my splatters.
Yeah, no kidding. Anybody who's ever murdered somebody is like, ugh. They're ruining so my stupid. Beautiful work.
So stupid. Yeah, I think that's it, though.
You know what? This was a great time, Ben. This was really fun.
It was so, so great.
So wonderful, Ben.
So wonderful.
All right, everybody. This was Watch What Crappens that you just listened to. So thanks. Come back next week. Come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens, to talk to us throughout the week. And you can find me, Ronnie Karam, at Ronnie Karam on Twitter, Vine, Facebook, whatever, or TrashTalkTV.com or YouTube.com/TrashTalkTeeVee. B-Side Blog is B-SideBlog.com or at B-Side Blog on Twitter, Vine, Instagram. And the rest of the internet.
And if you go look at my Instagram right now, you might just find a video of a dancing katydid that I took.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a little bug was dancing on a car roof.
Oh, you know what? I want to tell you, first of all, do you want to talk about Big Brother for 5 seconds?
Yeah, for 5 seconds, sure.
But I wanted to tell you that dancing bug was so cool. I was in my closet because I record music in my closet for fun. That's like my hobby. And I can only sing in my closet because my neighbors can hear me. And there was this daddy long legs hanging upside down on one of the shelves. And I was singing right at it because that's where my mic is. And it started bouncing up and down to the rhythm of what I was doing. And I was high. But I thought it was the coolest fucking thing I ever saw. And I whipped out my phone to try and tape it, and of course it stopped, and I couldn't get it to do it again. And then the next day, and I was telling my friend Trisha, and she was like, whatever, that I don't believe you. And then the next day you posted that, so thank you for at least proving that they do understand rhythm and they can dance back with us. Isn't that amazing, the animal world?
Well,
guys,
to be fair, it was already dancing and then I provided the rhythm.
I thought it was following your rhythm.
No, it was like I was just – it was supposed to be I was going to just record it walking around, because it was just like walking around and sort of being cute. And then it just sort of started dancing. And so I started going
and it kind of like danced. I am crazy. Maybe
yeah, no,
I am
you're,
just crazy.
Yeah, you are actually crazy.
Yeah, maybe I'm just crazy. Okay, Big Brother, what do you think? Go.
It's such a bummer whenever they have twists where someone comes back in the house and you're ready for them to shake it up. And then they just wind up on the block. I think – you know, I understand why the detonators have put Donnie and Nicole up on the block. And, you know, because, like, why cannibalize your own when there are others to be taken out? But it's always such a short-sighted strategy, because when these outsiders are gone, they're going to have to cannibalize themselves. And you actually – it's better to strike first and have, like, an army of people behind you, because, you know, Cody is banking on Derek. And Frankie and Caleb are together, and you've got Victoria in there. And it's like, why let your fate be decided in such uncertain terms as who wins HOH? Why not strike first and take out a truly big threat? I mean, Donnie is a big threat, actually. Don't get me wrong. He is a big threat.
Well, he would win the vote, probably. But Donnie's a terrible player. Like, he's really funny, but he's just awful. Like, every move that he's made has been terrible. He's telling everybody the wrong things. They're all talking when he knows they're in an alliance and they're going to be talking to each other.
Yeah.
He's just really, really a horrible player. But he's really funny. And this week he's been super snarky about everything going on. And he's just started kind of telling everybody off in like little funny ways. And it's hilarious. And I'm hoping they edit it into the show, because I've been reading the live feed stuff. Like, I'm trying to think of something good he said. I can't even think of it. But, like, they were talking about one time when Victoria was on slop. And he's like, well, you know, Victoria, the rest of us go on slop. And it's like, we look unhealthy. We start losing all this weight. And you don't.
Oh God.
Like stuff like that.
Or it's like when he told Cody, he's like, here, all season long, I thought you're just some stupid kid. Turns out you're a genius. And Cody's like, what the fuck? You're blowing smoke up my ass and you're insulting me at the same time. And I'm HOH.
So funny. Well, it's his way of being like, screw you. He knows they're not going to keep him anyway. Yeah. But this Frankie Grande thing is killing me. It's making me crazy.
How is it that he's in everyone's good graces again? Like, why did everyone forget that the entire house wanted him out 2 weeks ago? And everyone's like, yeah, let's go back after Donnie and Nicole.
Well, when he said that he was going to use his sister's fame to, like, keep him in the house, I thought, that is the dumbest move. Nobody's going to fall for that. And they all fell for it.
Yeah, they did.
Like, Caleb really thinks he's going to be dating Justin Bieber after this.
Yeah, and by the way, if that article that we were just referring to earlier in the podcast about Ariana Grande has any legitimacy, we know that none of these people are going to be hanging out with Ariana, including perhaps Frankie.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be like, I'm sorry, I'm done with you. And he's embarrassing. I think he's bringing a lot of negative attention to her because she had nothing but positive... positive attention before this show. Now people are like, what a dumb bitch, look at this article. Oh, by the way, where was she? Did she ever park her car?
You know, let me text. It's so bad that we're talking shit about our very own guests. Hold on, Ariana, are you here? My building has a very confusing hallway situation, so she may be in the hallway. I'm sure she'll be here any second.
Okay, well, should we just hang up?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should, you know, I really wanted superstar Ariana Grande to be on this podcast, but I'm just afraid that, you know, the podcast has to go out. So, I mean, we can't wait for her.
All right. So we'll just hope that she can come back next week.
Yeah. I guess so. I think she'll understand. She's taking a very long time to park and everything.
Okay. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you next week, gang.
Yeah.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.